The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Three Gospels record that Jesus fasted in the wilderness and that he was tempted by Satan, but only Matthew and Luke record the set of three temptations which marked the end of this trial. And as Eve and Adam were tested in the garden, so is Jesus tested here. But the outcome is quite different. Note that in both Eden and the desert, sinlessness came first. Then another held open the door to sin through temptation. But Jesus, the new Adam, the recreation of the race, did not pass through the portal through which our foreparents entered into sin and death. Instead, Jesus, human in every way that we are, nevertheless did not sin. In him, the Godhead submitted to death and in doing so, destroyed death that all may live again through his sacrifice. And thus the serpent, after its success in Eden, met with failure here. Jesus turned away three times and rebuked Satan. There are many ways to look at these three tests. But whatever Satan's attempt, Jesus' reply was the same. To quote from the Torah, using three passages from Deuteronomy, whatever Satan's tactic, daring Jesus, quoting scripture, offering bribes, Jesus answered with the law, not on his own authority. And thus it is the law which sets forth the path from Jesus' baptism to his ministry. For as the psalm says, the law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. And in another psalm, the law of their God is in their heart, and their footsteps shall not falter. And a third, happy are they whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Yes, Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. Now, we modern people are frankly terrible at this. I certainly am. We live in a commercialized society whose economic foundation is salesmanship, which is so close to temptation as to be indistinguishable at best, and plainly of the devil all too often. Within this milieu, the element of temptation is baldly used to spice up the act of purchase and consumption, so that there is a slight savor of rebellion in every bite of the dessert a more rational consideration might set aside for later, a frisson of daring to every act of adultery. And were Satan to appear to us to offer us all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, we all know the reply of the age. Satan, sign me up! And so they sign up again and sign again and sign up again. For the ruler of this world, as Jesus called him, may be cast down from the new creation, but he still holds sway over the old. And if he is not often worshipped by name, those in his service are legion, who lord it over their fellows, rob and exploit them, heedless of the death and suffering left in their wakes, or reveling in it. But even in an age of monstrosities, there is still plenty of room for us to add to the suffering of the world. And day by day, minute by minute, we are offered opportunities to add our own little contributions to the sin of the world. Not so much that grace may abound, but because the lure of sinning is more than our match. When we try to exist at all, it is now part of our nature that, as Eliza Doolittle's father sings in My Fair Lady, when temptation comes, we'll give right in. Therefore, we who aspire to be followers of Jesus, who try to live as he taught, pray in his words day after day to not be led into temptation. Or in another rendering, to be saved from the time of trial. And surely, therefore, we must do our utmost not to lead others to temptation or to set trials against them. As Jesus said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. So what are we given to aid us in this effort? Well, prayer, of course. Without the Spirit's assistance, our fallen nature will prevail and we will fall again and again into sin. We have the encouragement of our fellows. And we have the law, not that of Moses, though it advises us, but the new law of grace. And along with these, the church, in her wisdom, commends the fasting and denial, which Jesus modeled for us in the desert. In this season especially, we are called to acts of self-denial, so to focus us on the cross which looms on the horizon. Even a small act may help. But understand that the point is not to make more sins, to test ourselves to failure. It is to exercise our faith, to stretch the muscles of the soul and strengthen us, so that in the day of those trials from which we are not spared, he who is able to keep you from stumbling will make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy.